Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. I'm joined this morning by Bonnie Braddock. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Listeners, you'll recognize Bonnie's name. She's a favorite and fairly frequent guest, a senior genetics counselor at Upstate, more than 20 years of working in genetics with degrees in genetic counseling and public health, which is an interesting combination. Bonnie, we've had you on the show a few times to talk about genetics and personalized medicine, but sometimes we forget about the basics. And I got thinking about this yesterday, and I remember studying DNA in high school biology, and I got thinking, could you tie them together for me? Because I know they're tied together. But tell me about when I studied DNA in high school biology and the work you do.
Well, DNA is the basic hereditary material that's in all of our body cells. So it carries on it all of our genes, which mm-hmm. we've heard about. Mm-hmm. And the genes are really what are responsible for coding for everything about us, all of our characteristics, how our body functions, and all of that comes into play in terms of our overall health.
Ah, now, then I hear about DNA every time I watch a crime mystery or something on TV, or if I watch one of the medical shows or something like that. And then, of course, what is there, Maury Povich, who's always trying to figure out who's daddy, right? Which I haven't watched lately, but in any case, how does that tie together? That's the same DNA, of course, but when you say all of our characteristics, it also determines who our children are and those kinds of things.
Right. So we all carry, we all have a bulk of our DNA that's in common, but we all carry variations within our DNA that make us different from one another and may predispose us to different diseases.
All right. Is DNA like your fingerprint, where no two people have the same thing?
It's not exactly correct.
Right. It is? Okay. Right. And then what about twins? Do twins have the same DNA?
Well, identical twins should have the same DNA, but fraternal twins would be just like regular siblings.
Right. And of course, we know fraternal twins could have all kinds of things that would, different eye color and different hair color and everything else too. All right. So now, if I understand correctly, what we've established is that DNA is what you're studying in your genetic testing, and that it is an identifier. And so then you can also use it to identify genetic makeup. Is that, we had Dr. Pat Newman here a week or two ago, and we were talking about family history and determining, which of our parents had what disease and which of our grandparents had what disease. How does all of that tie in?
So DNA may come into our hereditary material may certainly come into play in terms of diseases that we have or our family members have, but it's usually not the whole story.
It's not the whole story.
So there may be diseases that are in the family due to non-genetic reasons, mm-hmm. Or things that just happen by chance, sporadic types of changes either in our genetic material or in that may cause certain types of diseases that are not hereditary.
Well, not all disease comes from our genetics, from our genes. I mean, certainly if you pick up the flu, that's not because you have a gene for the flu. It's because you were exposed to it from somebody else. All right. But there are diseases that we can look at in our genetic material. What kinds of diseases are we talking about?
Several different types of cancers may have a genetic component to it, heart disease, several different types. There are thousands of different types of inherited conditions that are caused by genetic changes.
And so you work with people who are concerned about their genes. Is it before they know they have one of these diseases or after?
Sometimes both. We will see people who have had a recent diagnosis of a particular disease, such as a certain type of cancer. Mm-hmm. And then they're worried about risk of another cancer occurring or risk for other relatives.
Well, the classic example of that, I think, is the breast cancer gene that we've heard about. So explain how that works, because I think it's an easy illustration for people to get.
What we're talking about in this case is less commonly in families, breast cancer may be associated with what we call a high-risk inherited gene. So that means that an individual carries a change in a gene that puts them at high risk of developing disease, but not 100%.
Uh-huh.
So it puts them at higher risk. And then that individual has a chance of passing that gene on and other family members would also be at increased risk.
And when you say passing it on, you're not talking about it's contagious, and if you're sitting next to me at the dinner table, you're talking about when they have children.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's why the whole family history thing, right? Because we're talking about what's passing from one relative through the bloodline to
right.
the next.
Right. Well, family history is very important, and that is really our starting place. So looking at family history really gives us clues mm-hmm. about which family members may be at increased risk for certain diseases that potentially could have some genetic component. And when there is some genetic component, it doesn't always mean that it's due to a high-risk gene that we can test for mm-hmm. at this time. But in some families, there may be just some increased likelihood of disease based on genetic and perhaps a combination of environment or lifestyle that does suggest an increased chance of certain types of diseases.
Okay, well, I want to come back to that environment or lifestyle thing in just a moment, but here's another thing I want to understand too. If I remember again from high school biology, all right, so I carry this trait, this gene for whatever it might be, and then I'm married and my husband and I have children. He has to carry it too for it to pass to my children, or not necessarily?
Well, there are different patterns mm-hmm. or different ways that inherited conditions can run through a family.
Okay.
So there's a pattern that we call dominant, where we all carry two copies of every gene that we
sure.
have.
Mm-hmm.
So in a pattern that we call a dominant pattern, that means it just takes one copy out of the pair of genes to potentially express the condition.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person, male or female, would have a 50-50 chance of passing that gene copy on.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't really matter what genes the spouse has.
Uh-huh.
The other pattern is what we call recessive. I'm sure this is bringing back
fond memories for
many people.
Fruit flies.
Right. So in this pattern, each parent could carry one copy of a gene that's not functioning properly, but they themselves would not typically be affected.
Mm-hmm.
But as a couple, if they each pass down one copy and a child had two doses copies,
mm-hmm.
then a child could potentially be affected.
Now this is all coming back to me. All right. Okay, so when I asked you before, do you see people before or after? That has an effect here too, doesn't it? So if somebody's been diagnosed with something, then they've already expressed whatever that disease they've been diagnosed, and they know they've got it. Are they then looking to see how they can help their kids? I mean, why would you get tested after you find out you've got something?
Well, I think there may be several motivations for that. If somebody is diagnosed with a disease, let's say colon cancer, we don't know if it's something that's genetic or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we find a gene abnormality in that individual, that may provide more information mm-hmm. regarding future risk for other diseases that could be associated with that gene.
Well, I'm going to just cut you off. I'm sorry, because I don't want to run out of time, and I want to make sure I understand this question. How do these people know to come to you? I mean, they've been diagnosed. There are people diagnosed with colon cancer every day. They're not saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to go get my genes tested. How is it they end up working with you?
Well, a very important step for people is to review their family histories with their primary physicians. And continue to review their physicians when they see their physicians on an annual basis or however often they see them. Because that's the most important clue that we have about risk for genetic disease is looking at family history.
So is it the primary care physician who's then suggesting they have their genes tested?
Well, it typically is.
Mm-hmm.
The physician may recognize certain clues in the family history that may suggest that an individual could be at risk. Other individuals recognize that themselves, or they may have a family member who has already gone through the process
mm-hmm.
of talking to their physician or a genetic counselor about risk for disease,
mm-hmm.
and then that family member suggests a genetic. So it comes to us from various avenues.
I was going to say, if they have a family member, I've got to think that if you have a family member who has already had a disease, there are some people who do want to know they're at risk and others who don't want to know they're at risk. You're only seeing the ones that do.
Well, we oftentimes see both. So we may see individuals who want to learn more
okay.
about what does it mean to have disease in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what our job is mm-hmm. as genetic counselors, reviewing the family history to assess, well, what is the likelihood that there's a hereditary factor in the family to begin with? Some people are actually pleasantly surprised when we say, well, based on your family history, you don't really seem to be at much of any increased chance
and what a
of developing disease, right, than anybody else in the general population.
Very interesting. So really, you serve as someone who can provide information and then help them get through the information one way or the other. Is that a fair assessment? If you find out they are at risk, you can help them understand it and what they need to do next?
Right. Our job really is to evaluate the family and health history, to assess the likelihood of genetic disease, and to provide that individual with options for dealing with that risk.
Excellent, excellent. How do people get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
They can contact us at 315-464-4842 for making arrangements to initiate an appointment.
Very good. And they could probably even ask their doctors to get in touch with you as well.
Right.
We'll make sure we put a link to your phone number and your web address on our HealthLink On Air website. Well, Bonnie Braddock, Senior Genetics Counselor, thanks so much for coming by. You've clarified. It's a moving target, isn't it, this genetic testing? There's much to be learned.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.